from their latest album, So Much Love, Depeche Mode. It's time to welcome back, because it is spring, it has sprung, despite the slightly inclement weather conditions, to our ace singer, songwriter and general all-round wonderful soul. It's Kirsty Churchill. Welcome back, Kirsty. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. Cold today, though. It's freezing.
Well, just a little to tower. Whereabouts in the country do we find you, Kirsty?
Because I'm in Dorking in Surrey.
Hence the reason you are a Surrey songstress.
Who
discovered your talent for singing as an 11-year-old at a family christening, singing ever since. The vocal cords will get tired, Kirsty.
I know, all that singing.
Exactly. But indeed, you have been producing all manner of wonderful things. And looking back at previous videos, we're going to actually have a little experiment now, Kirsty, because we're going to have in the studio a video for a completely different tune to the one that we're about to launch to the listening public, and just see how it fits. You know, so think about the video to those three words, which, of course, we were delighted to feature yesterday.
Yeah.
Seems like yesterday. Comprised with I Was Not Looking. It's very important.
Yep.
You know, so work our way through.
Yeah.
But share with us what is the importance about I Was Not Looking, apart from obviously it being not only a great song, but also a health warning as well. Because if you don't look, who knows what you could bump into.
Keep your eyes open at all times.
Yeah, exactly. Let's play it. We'll be back with you after a few seconds with Kirsty Churchill and the latest wonderful offering.
Yes.
Yay!
We can't believe it. We can't believe. I was not looking, but I think I found you. The stranger with my friends last Sunday. Looking, was not looking, found you.
It's a round of applause time. Yay!
It is
extraordinarily good. Although, actually, Shaylee, you said it had a slight I Think We're Alone Now Tiffany feel.
Definitely. It was that sort of 80s sync pop feel that I got. And your voice is lovely, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So, yeah, I get what you mean now that you said that. It is sort of, yeah, 80s poppy. I love that track. I'm always sort of, when it was playing, I was dancing to myself.
Exactly. Critical. Natasha.
Yeah, no, I absolutely loved it. I thought that's exactly the sort of thing I would put on and listen to just casually in an evening. Who are your influences, by the way?
I don't really know. I know it's a secret answer, but I listen to so many different types of music that I can't pinpoint exact artists, because my mood changes all the time to the sort of songs that I listen to. So I just like upbeat music, happy, feel-good music. So that's why sort of we do them sort of tracks. Obviously, that song was written by my record label, by Mark Herbert, and two producers at F Block called Mac and Phil, who are very, very, very good producers. So I didn't actually write that song, but I was really lucky to work with them, actually, because they're really cool guys.
Well, the good news is, Tessa, I see you've already liked Kirsty Churchill's Facebook page.
Yes, that must have been from the last time, because I remember your last song when we had you on before.
At Kirsty Churchill Official. Clearly our other Surrey songstress, Emma Tinson, we never hear from her these days. She's out there somewhere.
Excuse me.
life continues. Tessa, what did you make of Kirsty Churchill's little number?
I really, really loved it. I agree with Shaylee. It has a very 80s feel to it. I was thinking Heart and the Bangles as well. It was really, really good. Really enjoyed it.
Can we wait until May the 19th, though, when it's actually released? Because that's the official time next month.
That is the official date. Yeah. But if you'd like to download it, you can now on Spotify as a preview.
Yeah.
But it's not going on any other platforms yet until the 19th of May. But if you want to preview the EP, there's a 5-track EP. Yeah. So it's got my last two singles.
Those three words. And, of course,
words,
Stop
and
the
who
Clock.
You're going to call.
Yeah.
And the new one, Stop the Clock.
Yeah.
And this one, and there's one called My Love Redeems Me. So Stop the Clock is a big ballad. So that's completely different from all of the other ones that were on there. So you might like to have a little listen.
Definitely.
100%, so all great stuff there. And it's interesting, the video mashup that we had, in which we looked not only at Who You're Going to Call, but Ghostbusters, obviously.
The music video worked.
It did.
Exactly.
So, we have Kirsty wandering through the field, still worried about the horse, Kirsty, but never mind.
A lovely horse.
And then the internal with the rest of the musicians sort of playing background stuff, really. Very good. Have you actually had a video developed as yet for I Was Not Looking, or is that going to be released in the fullness of time?
That will be released in due course, but we have got something being put together. I think that's more sort of like pictures and snapshots and things like that. So we did a photo shoot at Ealing Film Studios last month. So they will be used. And there is little clippets as well, sort of me singing as well. So it's sort of going to be combined with sort of snapshots of me and a little bit of, not dub, you know, singing along. It's a bit more fun. It's got a bit more of an urban-y feel. So we've done it like on some rustic steps. And it's quite cool, actually.
So,
and my hair's green.
Mermaid green.
I'm one to always change my hair. Changing my hair all the time, so I think.
It's just one cornucopia of sheer Kirsty Churchill delights.
Now,
will you be touring much in 2017, 2018? Are there any plans afoot, or is it a case of, no, you're basically in the studio just to work on the excellence and awesomeness that comes out of studio sound?
So this year we will be getting together some acoustic slots, but next year is where I want to really focus on sort of moving through the UK if I can, getting my name out there a bit more. Now we've got a really good solid EP. We're really going to work on sort of local gigs this year, a little acoustic slot. I'm going to try and do some, open mic nights and things like that, just to get myself out there this year. Then next year, we're really going to push it more. So towards the end of the year, I shall be hopefully followed a bit more and hoping next year will be the year that we really push it forward to try and get through to, you know, other parts of the UK. And
well, bear in mind, that, Kirsty, that you have a full Kirsty Churchill supporting team in Lincoln, England.
Yay! I will always come and see you.
Just come to me. Engine shed.
That was exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. We have an engine shed. It's a shed which used to have engines in, but now it's a kind of wonderful concert venue.
It's nice now. The engines are no longer there.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a shed anymore.
Precisely.
We will make our way to you. Yeah.
Tessa, last two questions for Kirsty, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
As always, yes, I have indeed. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, that's brilliant. And will you be joining a Get There?
That's Tessa looking for the telephonic device.
You've caught my infection.
Will you be joining us again on the show in the near future?
I really hope that I will.
I think we need to have a regular support. It's a Kirsty Churchill day. It's a Kirsty Churchill celebration. Yay!
Thank you so much for having me.
probably the perfect antidote to stress, anxiety and all manner of marvellous things. Though, of course, the delights of O Magnum Mysterium by Morten Lauritsen, performed by the Los Robles Master Chorale, and indeed one of the works which will be featured in the season finale, conducted by the amazingly talented individual who is Leslie Layton. Good morning, Leslie. Are you well?
I am really well. How are you?
Delighted as ever to speak to your good self, Leslie. As I say, I feel that in a world in which we seem to be going crazy with all manner of strange and bizarre stories, you can always rely on the Los Robles Master Chorale to keep us calm, to keep us centred, to keep us human. You can add that
well,
to the
we
list.
Hope. Of, we
exactly.
Hope.
You can add that to Artillery Magazine saying Los Robles Master Chorale is noted for its robust choral tapestry, and indeed the International Review of Music, a marvellous chorus. Let alone, of course, the Orange County Register, Leighton's conducting leaves audiences mesmerised. It's going to be good.
Well, people are all mad.
There was something in the water.
In the studio, two fabulous souls. Right. We have Natasha Armstrong and we also have Shaylee McKenzie, one of whom is reading English at the University of Lincoln, one of whom is reading journalism. Both will be graduating at the same time later on this year. Shaylee, any questions you'd like to put to Leslie?
Yeah, I was just wondering, what is the membership? How many members do you have in the chorale?
Well, we're currently at 107 members right now. It tends to fluctuate between 95 and somewhere just over 100, you know, but usually under 110.
Oh, wow.
Something
and
it, like that.
Do you find it easy or difficult to conduct all those people?
Not conducting is conducting whether you've got 20 or you have, you know, 110. The only difference is obviously a smaller choir is more flexible.
Yep.
Just generally speaking, it's a little harder to move a lot of people at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's pretty, you know, they're pretty good about paying attention and, you know, and being with me. So
it's a case of guiding them through into more wonderful scenarios. Now, you might sort of think 2017, oh yes, it's the anniversary of the James Bond movie, The Spy Who Loved Me. Well, it is. It's also the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the, I think, a certain George Lucas movie about Tatooine and various
Star
other...
Star Trek?
No, please.
Blasphemy!
But most importantly of all, it is the 40th anniversary season of Los Robles Master Chorale. It's already started working through that, and I'm sure that ultimately that's what George Lucas and the entire Bond franchise would say. Yeah, ultimately, that's what brings the magic.
Ultimately, that's where they were going. Yeah, absolutely, that's where they were going with that.
And to celebrate, what a fantastic season finale. We've already spoken earlier on the programme to producer and writer Arthur Weingarten, Adam's Family, Bonanza, a whole range of things. And I said, I'm sure we should be able to arrange for at least Arthur and Annette to actually attend the superlative May the 3rd season finale of Los Robles Master Chorale. And indeed, the not one, not two, three world premieres, Leslie. I mean,
three world premieres. Yeah. Yeah, well, the concert's actually May 20th.
Oh, you're quite right. Yes, you're exactly May 20th.
Yeah.
Arthur would have been very early. He would have only been 17 days early. He would have been the producer just waiting outside saying,
out.
When does it start then?
Yeah.
17 days. Right.
Yeah, 17 days. You got 17 days, buddy. Yeah.
May the 20th is when
so
it takes place.
Yeah, May 20th.
Okay.
Yeah. So the world premieres are actually really amazing. Mm. We're doing three of them. They're all composed by my former students when I was the interim director of choruses at UCLA, which I'm sure is an acronym most people are familiar with, University of California, Los Angeles. And these three fellows sang in the choirs for me. And each of them has written very different type of piece, but just really, really beautiful. William Cabison, who is also studying conducting, and he's a fantastic pianist, set the Carl Sandburg poem Loam. And he just wrote so perfectly for Los Robles in terms of the sonority and the way, you know, it just expands to the end, which our choir really loves to do and excels at. The second piece is by a lovely young man named Vittorio Russo. And he set a text that he wrote in Latin, a novem punctus unum. And it's just this beautiful, you know, quiet, very quiet setting of this music in eight parts. So it keeps the choir busy. The piece that really astounded me, though, is by my former student, Nick Carlozzi. And Nick took My Country 'Tis of Thee, which, of course, you all know is a very different title. And he set that for two choirs within our choir. And it's a comment on the current state of things in America. He literally sets it so that the men are singing in one key, the women are singing in another key, so that it's very discordant. And in one section, he has the choir reiterate, my country. So he's setting the argument that's going on in America right now, politically. And it winds up in the piece, two conductors, so my assistant conductor, Allison Chang, conducts one of the choirs, I conduct the other. She stays in an even tempo, and my tempo just gets slower and slower so that the choirs are completely out of sync with each other, which, again, is exactly what's going on here. So I think it's one of the most brilliant things to do. Quite a political comment from such a young man.
It could almost be setting the scene for Calexit, the cessation of the state of California.
You're really pushing that, Alex.
I know, right? I am setting the scene for Calexit, it's true.
I can see it now, and then it'll end up as a little state somewhere in Russia, obviously.
Oh, dear Lord. No.
Never let it be said we shy away from politics.
I'm sure.
that sounds genuinely awesome, Leslie. Any thoughts for yourself, Natasha?
Yeah, no, that sounds absolutely incredible. That must be crazy to conduct. What sort of time scale do you work on in terms of when you first get the piece to when it's ready? How long does that take?
Well, it varies from concert to concert. In this particular instance, we finished our last concert on March 19. We took a week off, so the last week of March, we started rehearsing for the concert we're going to sing May 20th. So they have approximately eight rehearsals to get their program. And it is a very demanding program because, of course, we're singing, you know, a lot of Lauridsen. We're doing the O Magnum, we're doing Dire Ton, Sure on the Shining Night, O Nata Lux, and Ove Las il Bel Viso from the Fire Madrigali. And then there's a couple of other new pieces, one by our composer in residence, Jasper Randall. He set the Yeats poem, Cloths of Heaven, which is just stunningly beautiful. And another young composer, a female who I actually went to school with at USC, Lauren McLaren, wrote a piece for LA Mastercrawl. I had commissioned it, four years ago for the Chamber Singers. Called Yama no Mizu. And then we're doing Eric Whitaker's When David Heard, which, of course, is that huge, 12, 13-minute piece, you know, a bazillion parts, like 15 or 16 parts, but just spectacular piece. We're doing a Filipino piece. We're doing a Ward Swingle piece. So it's a pretty crazy program.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Do you do auditions as well for the parts, or do you have the sort of selection process? I imagine that's got to be worked in as well.
We do. The chorus, we hold annual auditions for people who are interested in becoming members. The regular membership are required to re-audition every other year. And, of course, if they're interested in singing solos, they need to sing for me annually, because that's kind of how I decide. You know, I listen to them in their audition, and I'll think, oh, that person could sing, you know, this solo. So that's pretty much how we do it.
Just sounds genuinely awesome. I feel the need to have another example of masterful Los Robles.
Definitely.
Master
yes.
Chorale material. And this particular this particular number actually focuses on the composer in residence, a certain Jasper Randall. And again, we've got one of Jasper's works featured in the season finale. It's going to be Ever After. Would you like to just provide us with a little bit of a little aperitif, Leslie, in terms of Ever After? Because clearly, we'll always love the joys of the Los Angeles Master Chorale. Okay.
Los Robles Master Chorale.
Yeah, that's...
It gets confusing. Even After is a piece that Jasper wrote a couple of years ago for us. We commissioned it. And it features a fantastic solo cello and chorus and piano. It's a really stunning piece of music. I think it very much shows Jasper's harmonic language and just the beauty of the melodic lines. He often writes just really beautiful melodies, if you will. So I think you'll enjoy hearing that.
It's coming through in a matter of seconds from now.
Thank you.
think another round of applause.
Yay!
And there is a moment, I mean, we talk about the importance of taking time to contemplate and think about life and reflect on the whole system. I think that's what good music can provide for you, Leslie. It can tap into those emotions and begin to really not
totally
just
agree.
Soothe the savage beast, but obviously, you know, open up a whole range of other factors. Yeah. Natasha, how did you find that little excerpt?
You know, I thought that was absolutely magical. I thought that was amazing. And, you know, for you saying that you can, you know, put these things together in a matter of like 2 months it astounds me, because the amount of control and, you know, the amount of, you know, the different people you have to choreograph, the different sounds, it's beyond me.
Frankly, Leslie, we realise that it's not just Leslie Layton, artistic director, but Leslie Layton, superhero and
yes,
artistic director.
Yes, you must be.
I'll get my cape
yeah,
going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Actually, I'm incredibly fortunate with the singers that I have. They're terrific people. You know, it's an all-volunteer choir, which is pretty astounding considering all the things that they do in a season. And I have a lot of studio session singers who sing on film soundtracks and things here in Los Angeles. And they like to keep their voices in shape. So they come and they sing every week just to, you know, just to keep their voices up. And I benefit, and the choir benefits from such fantastic talent.
And that's why checking out the Los Angeles Master Chorale is the thing to do. As we said a few months ago, Leslie, it's time you came back to England as well and did some stuff over in Britain and Europe. So it's time we organised for the 41st celebration, revisitation.
Right. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, it will happen.
Yeah, the choir would love it. Yeah.
Well,
that'd be great.
As we've reached that stage, a reminder, of course, you can find out more about the Los Robles Master Chorale by simply going online and hunting them down there, because it's just a phenomenal scenario. It's been a sheer delight just sharing some thoughts with yourself. Who would have thought when James Stemmen launched Los Robles Master Chorale as a community chorus back in 1977 that in 2008 it would just take a quantum leap further forward? And it's all thanks to Leslie Layton. It's genius. You know, it's fantastic.
Well, we try. We try.
Exactly.
It's
wonderful.
We do try. It's been delightful. It's been delightful.
Well, and I take it you'll be able to return in the not-too-distant future?
Absolutely. Would be my pleasure. Excellent. I always have fun with you, so, well, you know, yeah.
A round of applause for the awesome Leslie Layton, please.
Yay. And back at you. Back at you.
We can't get it out of our head. A year ago, we had in the Midweek Driver team a wonderful individual who's in the same position in many ways as you now find yourself, Shaley, with one important difference. She had done her science fiction module in the first term as opposed to the second term. So
Exactly. Okay.
So, you know, it was a...
I think that would have been way better.
Well, it was put to me, why don't you consider doing it in the second term as opposed to the first term? I said, well, straight is it, but in the end, we thought we'd go second term. And clearly, you saw the whole thing through.
Yeah.
as indeed did Claire Margerison, hanging out of a window now somewhere in Canterbury, because forget Skype, forget the fact that we called the number last week and we got Holly Parker, who graduated 2 or 3 years ago from this institution. And again, it was quite bemused by the whole thing, with that little buzz in the background there, proving that, yes, you can connect with everywhere in the country, including ex-Midweek Driveouts who are doing postgraduate work in Canterbury. Are you there, Claire Margerison?
I am, just about.
It seems like only yesterday, and yet it's nearly 10 months, I think, since we last the joys of the...
don't remind her about.
The Great Yorkshire Show, all manner of other exciting things were there. We still haven't given her a calendar. Of course, Natasha, you can appreciate that you've seen Claire Margerison in the calendar.
Yeah, you star.
More ways than one, exactly. And you know, we finally managed to connect with her after several attempts, which... Shaley, you will attest to it.
Where is she?
Got to the stage where Tessa Snart, who was in the studio this very day, said, I don't believe you're going to reach Claire. I'm off.
She ditched us.
She said, there's no point anymore. You know, she could listen to Sound and Country Vision and I'll check out the podcast. So how on earth are you, Claire Margerison, and where are you?
I'm in my house, as you said, hanging out my window because I don't have signal at all, which is ridiculous. I'm actually, on the whole, really good, but I have had gastroenteritis since Saturday, so I'm kind of just recovering from that at the moment, whilst avidly trying to write my second to lots of essays. That are due on next Friday, so it's kind of a little bit hectic.
Well, don't worry about it, Claire. You know, I mean, we will entertain ourselves by looking at photographs of your good self in 2016, etc. There with Claire and Shaley.
I actually think I've met you, Claire. Carol and Duffy.
We are talking to you, Claire. Can you hear me now? No, yeah. She's suddenly denying all knowledge.
Oh, no. She's like, Shay who? What?
Exactly.
I actually did meet Claire. It was a Carol Ann Duffy poetry workshop. And I think she was the year above because it was second year.
That's why she graduated last
year. Yeah, well, that makes complete sense.
Exactly.
Great brain. And she was a really lovely girl, actually. She was really passionate.
That's what can be said about every Midweek Driver.
She's back.
She just came in at the right moment as I was
complimenting her.
She was just checking. So do I owe her money?
What's she going to say?
That workshop was incredible. It was such a good experience.
But who would have thought, though, Claire, that the mantle indirectly of being a Midweek Driver, that awesome responsibility from the point of view of an English language student and undergraduate, would be passed on from yourself across the airways there? This is obviously, it's just so exciting. It's just wonderful. I mean, I think girl Leonis will be listening to this thinking, this is real radio. This
is what I live for.
And bring me on via Skype as well. It's amazing. Claire also attended some of the science fiction screenings, of course, and was a key part of various other factors. Final one coming up week tomorrow, actually. It's Contact that we're doing.
Oh, that sounds very exciting.
Make the most of them, honestly. It's such a good experience when you're at uni to just make the most of all those things. I mean, I've had my year as like a master's student down in Kent, and it's just such a nice experience to experience like all of the free stuff as well. Like, it's such a privilege.
Well, we've passed on the fact that you have paid a visit to the William Sitwell Shrine. And,
obviously.
He's very impressed with that. And we were hoping to connect you together. But clearly with Claire's internet challenges.
Yeah.
You could tell what William would do. He'd put the phone down. It's just his way. The great news is next week, Mary Dancy is going to join us.
I have heard about this.
Yeah.
We've been in cahoots about this. No, Mary's doing really well as well, and it's it's been so nice to keep in touch with everyone via the social media.
Exactly. Who knew what Mark Zuckerberg was putting together? He thought he was doing some kind of scoring system. No, it was to keep midweek drivettes connected across the globe, really.
Exactly.
Well, we're currently looking at a photograph taken last January, of course, with a mixture of Emma Tinson, who's still doing very well. Tessa Snart. She comes in when she wants to these days, so she has her own show. Emily Jones, of course, who's over in Spain. Doing our own sort of stuff, etc. But many of the sort of key things there. And as you can see, as we look back over the year, Claire, very much a kind of a seasoned pro. And it's always nice to actually check the seasons just by looking at the kind of outfits that Marjorie actually wears.
Oh, God. I just lived in jumpers. I remember waking up at like 7:30 every morning being like, right, jumper, come on. Let's do this, coffee in hand.
Yeah. Claire, of course, being a soul who effectively would turn up regularly on a Thursday morning as well. It was her way.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I've got to do both, you know, two birds, one stone.
Precisely.
I did Thursday mornings with Claire last year.
There we are.
You did.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. We could talk Jared Johnson, but we won't at this particular stage.
Jared.
He's celebrating Arsenal's victory and other major things as well. Any questions you'd like to put to Claire now that you're also approaching graduation time, Natasha?
Yes. I want to know, Claire, is it much of a difference for you being a master's student now as opposed to an undergrad? Do you feel that there's sort of like a shift in the air, or is it much the same?
Academically, massively so, if I'm honest. I love it a bit, but it was extremely overwhelming, but it was overwhelming to start with, and there's just a lot of work. I've had like so many people say to me when I was like in second year and third year that master's is like such a step up, like there's so much work, and I was like, you know what, I can probably do it, but it is a lot of work. But I think it's just the great thing about it is the freedom that you have within like what you're studying, what you're looking at, where you can take your essays, your dissertation, but also just kind of being another year away from home, doing more things, and also it gives you, as bad as this sounds, it gives you another year to think about what you want to do. Being close to London has been quite good for me because I live like even further north when I wasn't in Lincoln, and it's just nice to kind of experience like the kind of job life around London, and kind of I've got a job down in Canterbury as well. I work in the library as well, so it's quite fun.
Yeah. And in case you're wondering, the reason for featuring Nick Smith early on the production is, of course, Claire is from Harrogate. So we thought, what a better way to actually start off with the show director for the Harrogate Flower Show, and then finish off with trying to have Claire hanging out of the window somewhere in getting a mobile phone signal in some kind of Bridget Jones-esque way.
Just don't fall out.
No.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
Stay in the window.
No flowers below me, which would be quite bad as well, I think, if I did fall out.
You know, gastroenteritis and taking a header from your building is not a good sort of scenario for
you. Not a good combination.
Exactly.
No.
You know, think of the German grandmother. Think of the German grandmother.
Exactly. She sent me an email, a really adorable email, saying, I just wish I could come and give you a big hug. And I kind of wanted to respond with, actually, I don't think you want to come anywhere near me right now. I'll just clear my thoughts.
Well, as I say, you've set the scene for when Mary Dancy returns next week. You can see them there with Sam Stone and David J. Howe, of course, back in April last year, with Tessa having a particularly interesting tilt of the head in that particular photograph, I think. Very good.
You're rocking a very lovely blue jumper, Claire.
Oh, thank you. One of my faves, you know.
Exactly. And in fact, as a fellow English graduate-to-be, and given that, would you like to share with Claire your own particular essay for the science fiction module? Then we can sort of wrap that up. What your title, Shaley, is?
Yeah. I'm writing about time travel, mainly focusing on Doctor Who and how it influenced an entire like generation and movement.
That's interesting. That'll be super good. I hope it goes well for you.
Mainly because I can geek out about how much I like Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's
right. Always be careful about taking the fan line. It can be too subjective. Just a word of advice
there.
Because literally writing 3,000 words with an overnight sort of scenario, why worry about the whole thing? Claire, what was your topic, by the way? If memory serves
mine it, was, I was looking at minds and bodies in Bicentennial.
But indeed.
Neuromancer and 2001.
Exactly.
Actually, have used that this year to develop an article for a postgraduate journal. It's been really fun to come back to that because I've kind of gone down the science fiction post-humanism line with what I'm doing now here. So, thanks to Alex, really.
We simply indicate through the signpost the possibilities that are there, and then you manifest your own joy.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Shaylee, go for it. Last two device-type questions.
Goodness me. So, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have. It's very weird to be on
the other end of the line. Say. I didn't hear anything. Amazing.
And will you be joining us again anytime soon?
Hopefully, and hopefully I'll get my signal sorted.
Exactly. And one day, I'm sure she may even return to such a far north place as Lincoln, which I realise from the joys of Canterbury and Kent, etc. It's a long, long way north, really. It's like another country.
It is. 260 miles from my little old Harrogate.
Window walking downtown, feeling mighty good. And I noticed from the corner how all alone she stood. Underneath the lamplight, an angel in disguise. Lonely little runaway with teardrops in her eyes. Ragdoll, her hair was wild and tossed, and I put my arm around her, 'cause I knew that she was lost. She didn't seem to notice that anyone was near, till suddenly she turned to me and whispered in my ear.
Do you know, after all that, thanks to the joys of Lily Holliman. Hello, Lily Holliman.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, she did. We also have Phil Leonis in the area as well, and the Los Angeles Breakfast Club has been sorted out. I knew if we played the Partridge Family and point me in the direction of Albuquerque, we would at least get Phil Leonis in L.A.
I love that I can Skype into the show at any point now. I can just call you.
Yes, and feel free to do so, Phil. That's why I've kept the whole thing going. And you don't even have to do what Claire Margerison had to do, which was to lean out of a bedroom window several stories high just to get a signal somewhere in Kent and Canterbury. That was exactly, it's wonderful. She had the option of sticking around.
Which I thought she was doing that just to get the weather report. I thought she had stolen my job as the morning edition weather person.
Phil, you've laid down such an important imprimatur with respect to that, as Gabriella Peralta acknowledged last week, that we feel as though, you know, it's almost becoming a done deal, really. And whether you're around tomorrow, who knows? Or, as we like to say, midnight in Los Angeles.
When you say whether I'm around tomorrow, that sounds awfully ominous. Like, you know something's going to happen to me.
It's one of those areas where maybe they may not be there. Who knows? How was the Los Angeles Breakfast Club today, by the way? Let's
Oh, my goodness. It was a dance party. You're asking as if you've seen photos. There was an organization there called Giving Music, and the president of our charitable foundation is a huge supporter of these people. And through our foundation, we financially supported them. They are a band that brings music to hospitals and schools and retirement homes and areas that don't get served by live musical performance too often. And they came in, and at 8 o'clock, they had us in a conga line. I'm not in good enough shape for this. I thought I was in good shape, but for an hour of dancing at 8 o'clock in the morning, whoo!
It's what we'd expect from you, Phil. You know, frankly, conga in Los Angeles. It's going to happen.
Oh, you know, I got an email from our friend Bradley there at the Starburst International Film Festival, and he asked me if the Lady Killers were selected to participate in the film festival. Mm-hmm. Would I or any of our team be planning to come to the UK for that?
Right.
And I guess not only would I be planning to come for the festival, but I'd be planning to come to start a conga line in the Siren FM studios.
I'm so there.
And clearly, as an American, getting from Lincoln to Manchester via conga, it's what the M62 was built for. It's only a matter of 200 miles.
Yeah.
It's precisely. That's the way forward. It's clearly, evidence it in every sense. So, what excitement. Clearly, we mentioned earlier that Arthur Weingarten will hopefully be attending the premiere of Los Robles Master Chorales, well, actually the end of season, the 40th anniversary finale that takes place on May the 20th.
Not the third.
Not the third, no, not the seventh, actually. Yes. But May the 20th, I'm sure, you know, Phil would be ideal for the marvellous calming cheers, that, as indeed would Lily Holliman. I'm not sure, I mean, I've kept Lily's line going. Are you still there, Lily?
I am still, sizzled into being on the radio show somehow.
Yeah, I know. It's we're drawing things together like some sort of miraculous thing.
Like we know what we're doing.
And that is really the prescription for life, Shaylee, you'll find as you graduate. At the end of the day, fake the whole scenario like you know what you're doing.
How do you think I got through my degree?
That's how the Los Angeles artists will cope with the upcoming writer's strike. I know, it could be more reality TV shows, but what the hey? It'll be smart.
We cope with it by going on a very long road trip.
Yeah, nicely said, Lily. Nicely said.
You know what's odd is hearing her voice in one room and then on delay hearing her voice in this room. It's as if I'm talking to her pretty much every day. That's really how it is talking to Lily Holliman.
Yeah, well, bringing couples together, that's the sort of scenario who might not even sort of see each other for a few moments. It's quite heartwarming, really.
Yes.
Sort of line which would take us back to the Harrogate Springflower Show and indeed Kirsty Churchill. Natasha, questions and thoughts for Phil?
Yes, so you've been going in a conga line this morning, but do you get up to any other sort of charitable events at the Breakfast Club?
Charitable events?
Yeah, just fundraisers and...
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, we participated in a big fundraiser this weekend for the club itself that Lily can talk about.
Yeah, Lily, about that, please. And preferably not at the same time as Phil. Otherwise, you know, nightmarish things will happen, really. Lily, over to you.
Only Alex gets to talk at the same time as me. But through the foundation, we give out dozens of grants each year, mostly to organizations in the Los Angeles area for whom these grants will make a big difference.
Well, that's wonderful. That's really cool.
And on the club side of things, linking to the foundation of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club Foundation, the foundation gave a grant to Pasadena Heritage, which in turn afforded us an opportunity this past Sunday to go on a walking tour of historic Pasadena by the Arroyo Seco, and that culminated in a tour of Ernest Batchelder's very own 1910 bungalow and original studio. Ernest Batchelder was a very famous tile maker and instrumental in bringing the arts and crafts movement to Los Angeles and ultimately America. And we met the caretaker of said bungalow, Mr. Bungalow Bob Winter himself, who in his own right is a famous architecture historian and has written many books. So that was a great fundraiser for the club side of things.
And Lily Speaks not only as just a participant in the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, but as your official title, Lily, please, it is?
I am the president and chairman of the board of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club.
You see, that's evident, Shaylee, when, as in your own auspicious role as the president of the University of Lincoln Feminist Society?
Yeah,
you see, this celebrates the wonderful of that. 27 seconds now, which hopefully ties in with Lily and Phil.
They're going to build it.
10, 9.
Who gets to go?
8, 7.
From Carl Sagan, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author.
6.
And Robert Zemeckis.
5.
The Academy Award-winning director of Forrest Gump.
You're willing to give your life.
A journey.
4.
Into the heart of the universe.
3.
Jodie Foster.
2.
Matthew McConaughey.
1.
We are not alone.
Contact.
20th anniversary of Contact.
I didn't know Tucker Smallwood figured so prominently in that.
Yay, absolutely. Tucker Smallwood, without whom a countdown just doesn't have the gravitas that I feel it actually needs. You know, if you want to have a countdown to have gravitas, book Tucker Smallwood. He's the go-to person for countdowns.
I have built a mini career on going to Tucker for gravitas. Three movies now. But you'll appreciate this. I pointed out to someone that Contact was the first time Lily and Tucker ever appeared in a movie together. And Lily then asked, well, isn't it the only time? When else have I appeared in a movie?
Oh, nice
her?
One.
And I had to remind her, of the movie that we just made.
Lily, it's the Lady
Killers. And they have a scene together.
Honestly, so, you get our...
I was expected to do a conga line this morning. I don't know. I'm a little out of it.
It was before her morning coffee.
Lily Holloman, the 21st century Jodie Tucker. Jodie Orta. I'm very confused now. Jodie... Jodie Foster. The aliens are out there again. You know, suddenly you think it's all going well, and then the aliens of white noise actually strike. So we'll actually, I tell you what, we'll lose Lily, because I think it was her phone that actually sort of gave us alien. I think, Phil, you're still there without the alien white noise.
Yeah, that was something. That was something. That was her being taken away. Yeah, look, this is the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. We have, we were founded in 1925. We're in our 92nd year. And like any 92-year-old, we are using cordless telephones from 45 years ago.
Hmm.
And we haven't replaced the battery since, I don't think. So, you know, we've got a good 7 minutes of a battery charge on our phone, and that's what apparently happened.
Exactly. Well, we'll close Lily's line down now, and I'll rely on you, Phil, to ask her those last two questions. So all's well with the world, so he doesn't have to panic about, oh, she could even come into the room with you. I don't know.
I'll do it through the door via Morse code. I am tapping out.
Exactly.
Did you enjoy your telephonic
exactly.
link?
It's marvellous. And Natasha, would you like to come up with a number between 2 and 26, please, to delight and welcome back your return to the studio as far as the midweek drive is actually concerned?
24, please.
24.
It's the way you think. That's your purpose. It's never been about what work you choose, what gifts you develop, or what niche you fill. Let these be for your pleasure. think only as you can think, which will lead to feelings that only you can feel, from which connections will be made, lives will be changed, and worlds will come tumbling into existence. This is why you're here. Thanks, the universe.
That's all you need, really.
That's so motivational.
I mean, the last few weeks, Shaley, we haven't had a chance to really engage with the universe, but it is one of those aspects which is there. Without the, as Phil would say, slightly creepy PS at the end, which... Phil, on a slightly different note, away from Contact, which we'll be discussing immediately after this production as a pre-record, and hopefully that'll work because I'm moving into another studio and heaven only knows what's going to happen with the Skype connection there, but we'll try. We may well be back on mobile phones. Contact, of course, 20 years old. Are you familiar, slightly different routine, with the series called Earth Final Conflict?
You're going to have to refresh my memory. Is this an old show?
1998 to 2003, Gene Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict.
Roddenberry. I'm not entirely sure that that was the title for it here. Earth Final Conflict?
Yes.
Was that the American? Oh, I do remember of what you speak, yes.
Jane Heitmeyer, who, of course, was Renee in Earth Final Conflict, will hopefully be joining us in a couple of weeks' time from now. So that's very exciting. It's very good. Yeah, looking to May, etc. It may be a pre-record, but that's a tease ahead to all manner of other bits and pieces, including the fact that today we celebrate something that Dean Hagland will be delighted to take part in. And, Phil, you can pass this on if he's not aware of the fact that for the first time ever, it is now possible to get a non-stop flight from England to Australia, lasting 17 terrestrial hours. So now it's been the kangaroo flight.
Wasn't it a day?
17 hours.
No, didn't it used to be 24 hours?
Yes.
Wow.
No, 17. Actually, in the days of the convicts, as Phil would actually say with respect to his Botany Bay joke, it could be months, could be even years from that perspective. But as I said, if they weren't going to go down via aircraft, you can actually now use that with the new kangaroo hops that Qantas have introduced. And we'll be talking with traveller Simon Reeve about that in tomorrow's
program. Do you still get scurvy? Though, I mean, in 17 hours, do you still come down? I mean,
it depends on what aircraft food you consume, of course, and whether you have the fruit and vegetable balance that is essential, or indeed whether you want to attack a person with a banana, which could, of course, be seen as, as critical.
17 hours. Maybe we could get Dean to participate in this trip to Manchester and Lincoln. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
I just thought I'd roll it out there. Meanwhile, having reminded Natasha of her concluding penultimate session on Origins of Modern Britain, in which we looked at and now for something completely different.
Yes.
Tessa's still so stressed. That's the real reason she had to leave. She had to deal with how to cope with a person who had to be disarmed when he comes at you with a banana.
But that was my favourite session of Origins.
Exactly. You can ask Phil those last two questions, please.
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us, Phil, this evening?
Not only have I enjoyed it, but I did receive a Morse code response from Lily in the other room, and it was a Morse code for a thumbs up in terms of her enjoying her telephonic link.
And before we hang up, I must actually get Phil's mobile number so that if all else fails when I move to a different studio, then we can talk about contact in a different scenario. It's all there. Feel free to join us if you wish, Claire. It's a whole other Claire. Natasha. Meanwhile, you'll hear from Hannah and Holly again next week. Now, Shaley.
Do you need me to just give out that mobile number right now?
No, not over there. No.
Do you want people calling you?
Certain things we don't do, Phil. Talking about the election, giving out public numbers. It's not a no. Please.
100 for LA Phil.
last two questions for Phil. Please, Shaley.
Well, I've already had one. I've had one of the last two already. I'm just looking for number two of two now.
Okay, number two of two.
Will you be joining us again next week?
Oh, okay, you twisted my arm.
Yay! Easily persuaded.
Yay! Last up forever, it's been a sensational piece which took us from Camo in Nashville through Nick Smith at Harrogate through Arthur Weingarten. Fascinating words from Arthur, I think.
Definitely, he was inspiring.
And Bonanza as well. Kirsty Churchill, Leslie Layton from Los Robles Master Chorale, Claire Margerison back somehow through the miracle of telephonic communications, Lily Holliman and Phil Leonis, and of course Tessa Snart, and Shaley McKenzie and Natasha Armstrong in the studio. And you, dear listener, can we say bye-bye?
Bye! Bye. Bye.
shy and hide my temper. I've said goodnight tonight.